Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it's only been in existence for 2 years, but already Temu is one of the biggest shopping apps on the planet. Of course, it's Chinese. Conor Pope of the Irish Times has been fully Temu-ing himself and joins us now. Afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you? By the way, my death row meal would be a lobster with a roast chicken, sort of starter and main course. There you go. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, my death row meal would be the largest one I could possibly have to drag out the whole process, obviously. So is Temu like the new Wish.com?
Kind of, except that it probably sells a lot more than Wish. And in many respects, Temu is absolutely astonishing, because what it effectively does is it puts factories in China in direct contact with shoppers in Ahaskara or wherever it might be, in Ireland or Spain or the United States. And the idea that you could shop directly from a factory in Shanghai or Beijing or any one of the other thousands of Chinese cities is just remarkable. But that's in essence what it does. So in you say, is it like Wish? It's also a little bit like Amazon Marketplace, because the site itself doesn't hold all the products. It basically just acts as a platform for other people to sell their wares. Now, it has an absolutely staggering amount of content. According to Temu themselves, they have 80,000 different sellers on the platform, and there's more than 2.5 million different products. So effectively, if you can think of it, it probably is for sale on Temu.
Yeah. Now, and the extraordinary growth of this platform in the last 2 years, is that largely down to advertising? They do spend a few bob on that.
They spent a lot of money. I mean, they spent last year, I think, $1.5 billion on Google AdWords alone. And to give you another little kind of a little vignette of their advertising spend, a lot of your listeners would be familiar with the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl ads that are shown, and it's always a big deal made about it. Now, Temu bought 6 30-second slots during the Super Bowl in the United States. Each of those slots costs around 7 or 8 million euro. So they were able to handily drop close to $50 million on advertising over the course of the Super Bowl alone. So literally, when it comes to money, it's no object. But the other thing that they do, and they're incredibly clever at this, is they leverage influencers and people who use TikTok and Instagram and all the other social media platforms that you care to think of to help them and to help spread the word. So they will both go into partnership with influencers, but they also have this way of doing business whereby they will give you a link, and if you share the link with other people and other people sign up or download the app and start buying on the app, well, then you get extra credits on your app. So in effect, what they're effectively doing is they're incentivizing their users to get other users to use the platform. So they have 3 or 4 or 5 different incredibly powerful strands that they use to attract new members. And the rate at which they're attracting members is like astonishing. You might be looking at 47, 50 million new users a month. And they have literally like hundreds and hundreds of millions of users all over the world. So it is an absolute retailing phenomena, the like of which we've never seen. And I think one of the things that maybe a lot of people don't realize is that Temu is in direct competition with every single retailer that you can think of in Ireland. Because when I say they sell everything, you know, that means that they're competing with, you know, the retailers in the west of Ireland, the retailers in Cork, Donegal, all over the country. And the thing about Temu is it is incredibly cheap. I mean, I said earlier this week that it makes pennies look like Harrods, because in many respects, it's just like an awful lot of the stuff that you can buy on Temu sells for 8 euro, 10 euro. And their catchphrase or their slogan, which is, of course, nonsense, is shop like a billionaire, because your money will go so much further on the platform. Mind you, I don't think many billionaires are shopping on platforms like Temu.
Yeah. Now, what's their, I mean, other than it's garbage and we admit it, which obviously they don't, but what's their explanation for why their prices are so incredibly low?
Well, I suppose one of the things that they say is they cut out the middleman. So the middleman might be the wholesaler and the retailer. So you, Sean Moncrief, is dealing directly with the factory in Shanghai. Okay, so that's one thing. Another reason why they can sell so low is because e-commerce companies in China are exempt from export duty, so they can sell it into this part of the world without incurring any export charges from China. And then another reason why they're significantly cheaper maybe is because the cost of the products is low. A lot of the time they come in under the ceiling for excise and duty charges for products being exported into this country. Because, you know, if you're buying a product for 10 euro or 12 euro, you're not going to pay duty on it. So there, that's another reason for it. And then, of course, they will say that, you know, because they're so big, they can consolidate orders and they reduce the cost of shipping and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons really is because a lot of the product that they sell just isn't very good. And it can't, you can't really expect it to be very good. Like, one of the things that it's quite well known for is they sell what your younger listeners might refer to as dupes and what you or I might refer to as knockoffs.
Yes.
So they refer, they'll be selling, you know, white headphone or earbuds that look suspiciously like Apple earbuds for like 5 euros. Or they're selling Dyson or products that look suspiciously like Dyson, you know, like hair straighteners or whatever, for 15 euros. And like the reality is, if you buy a set of headphones for a fiver, you can't really expect them to be as good as the pair of headphones for 100. That's
yes.
just like they might, you might be able to listen to the radio. You might be able to listen to the radio for a while, but you know, and I think a lot of the time people have almost turned the buying of products on Temu into a game. So they might buy 10 products and maybe one of them is good. And then the rest of the stuff is either destined for landfill or it's just going to go into that press in your house that just where all the junk goes that you don't really want to throw out yet, or sometimes it does get returned. Now, to be fair to Temu, they do have a decent enough returns policy, and one of the things that a lot of people who contacted me, because I put a shout out on Twitter saying, you know, what are people's experiences of Temu, and a lot of people were saying one of the great things about them is that if you buy a product and it's not up to scratch or it's not what you anticipated and you contact them, they'll just say, oh, listen, we'll give you the money back, but you can hang on to the product. Because it would cost them too much money to basically process the return. So they just you buy the product, it's not up to scratch. They say to you, "Hang on to it," and they give you your credits back because they, you know, you can build up credits on the app, and then you use the credits to buy whatever products that you want.
What are the postal costs?
If you buy over a certain amount, the postal costs are actually free. So a lot of the time, a lot of people can just avoid all costs whatsoever when they're just paying for the products, which is what makes it so attractive. And the ceilings are quite low. I mean, yeah, I think you're required to spend $25 or 25 euros or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the delivery costs are minimal.
Yeah. Now, presumably, though, when all these people become members, that those members are giving something to Temu as well, in the sense of all their user data.
100%. Now, that's not unique. I mean,
yeah.
Any big social media platform, any big online retailer mines the data that they collect, and they use that then for monetary purposes. I mean, like Amazon Marketplace will sell the data that it collects to manufacturers, and they will be able to sell the data and say, listen, lots and lots of people are interested in this particular product. Why don't you make more of that particular product? So that information has value. But what Temu does that's quite interesting is it gives the data to companies in China and says, we've noticed that there's a lot of people interested in this product. Here's all the data for free. Now you go off and use that data and make the products and then sell them on our platform and we'll take a cut. So it's another strand of the business model. But I mean, they've got into trouble with that kind of mining of users' information. I mean, not long ago, they had this giveaway where they were giving users $50, I think it was, in free credit to shop on the platform. And everyone was like delighted. And then some eagle-eyed reporters, I think, looked at the terms and conditions and realized that people were giving away the rights to their image, their comments, their thoughts on the platform in perpetuity. And you're kind of thinking, that's really good value for Temu to get all of that. And then, of course, Temu rolled back and said, listen, we're never going to use all of that information. There was the terms and conditions were too broad. And, they kind of effectively, you know, reversed their stance on that.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, that's the reality. And it's not, again, having a go at Temu, because that's how a lot of these big tech companies operate. I mean, if somebody like you know, if there's no charge, you know, they use the data that they collect and they use it in ways that you or I could just never understand or get our heads around.
Yeah. Now, another issue, though, as I understand it, about these products are suspiciously cheap, is who's making them and under what kind of conditions.
Exactly, and it's impossible. And I was going to say it's impossible to avoid those questions, but nor should we. be avoiding those questions because they are really problematic. Now, the US government and the legislators there have expressed grave concern about the provenance of a lot of these products, because the reality is that if you've got 80,000 different suppliers, that's effectively 80,000 different factories. Who are the people making these products? Are they being properly paid? Are they being properly looked after? There is suspicions that they're using, that enforced labour is being used. Now, Temu, to be very clear, deny this and say that they follow very strict policies. But the UK government, the US government, EU consumer groups have all expressed concern about who is making these products and under what conditions are they making these products. Because if a company, if a factory is making products for a fast fashion outlet selling into the West, the fast fashion outlet, whoever they might be, has to have a degree of oversight of the factories and has to have a degree of oversight into the employment conditions in those factories. That's not to say those employment conditions are always good, and there's been plenty of stories showing just how bad those conditions can be. But if the company, if the online platform, it only has a tangential relationship with the factories, it becomes much harder to police it. And one of the things that the US, that came out of the US, I think it was one of the Congress subcommittees or state committees, they established that, you know, that it was very difficult for Temu to authenticate the source of some of these products. And that, I think, is problematic. And of course, there's a lot of very, very dark videos on social media about this kind of stuff. So I think people are right to ask questions about it. Temu say that they do their utmost to make sure that everything is above board, but the questions still persist.
Yeah. And if those questions still persist, is there any sign that any government, perhaps Europe or the US, might take action against Temu?
Well, it's very difficult in the sense that the company is very clear that it follows all the necessary legislation that it must follow, and that all of the people are being paid the appropriate wages for the places in which they work. So at the moment, it would be difficult to see what an individual country, or indeed any country, could do. Because, you know, there is an absence of transparency, and I think that's undeniable. And I think that there's a big consumer group, an EU-wide consumer group made up of different consumer groups in Germany, Holland, Belgium, France, and other parts of Europe. And they've expressed grave concern about the absence of transparency when it comes to the provenance of these products. And it's a problem. And it's undeniably a problem. I think ultimately, it might come down to consumer choice, and the consumers get to make decisions as to where they shop. And very, very recently, I'm sure a lot of your listeners will have seen, there was an SNL skit that covered this kind of thing. And, you know, if your listeners haven't seen the skit, I could suggest that they look it up online, because it's, you know, it's kind of on the money.
Yeah, indeed. Connor, thanks a million as ever. Connor Pope there, a consumer affairs correspondent of the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.